Good evening, friends and brethren.
Very good to see everyone tonight. Glad you are here. Seems like Sandra and I have had a hard time getting our garden to be what we'd like it to be the last 2 or 3 years. We've just struggled to get anything out of the garden. And that drought a couple of summers ago, well, that was the worst. It started off great early in the year, but then it got dry, and you couldn't put enough water on it. It didn't matter how much you tried to water. It just sucked it all up and went away. Everything died. I mean, everything in the garden just died. Well, this spring, Sandra planted some snap peas, and it was so wet earlier in the spring and cold that they were real slow coming up. But you know, here a month ago, they really came on. And before we left for that gospel meeting a couple weeks ago, the bushes were big and they were loaded with blooms and starting to get some peas on those. And we thought, man, when we come back, they're going to be loaded. And we came back and they were all dead. I mean, there was still some green on the top, but the bushes were brown and they'd just kind of fallen over, and we got a few peas off of it. But, you know, wow, what happened? They had died. We pulled them up because nothing more was going to grow. They were dead. You know, back around Thanksgiving, I heard something that I thought was kind of funny. You know, a lot of folks at the grocery store that time of year, they're busy buying everything for Thanksgiving Day. And that 2 or 3 days before Thanksgiving, if you go to the store, you wished you hadn't. There's just so many people there and the lines are so long. And in the meat section, sometimes it's kind of hard to figure out what size turkey you want. Sandra has a better idea of that than I do. I pick one up and say, is this good? How many pounds is it, she says. You know, she figures something off of how many pounds it is. But it can be kind of hard to know what size you really need. And you might find yourself even second-guessing if the turkey is big enough. You know, how many people do we have coming? Is this going to be enough to feed everybody? That reminded me of a story. And it seems there was this lady picking through the frozen turkeys there about Thanksgiving time. She was at her local grocery store and was a little frustrated that she didn't think she could find one big enough, you know, for her whole family. And there was a stock boy that was coming by and she asked, she says, do these turkeys get any bigger? And the stockman said, well, no, they're dead. Well, it kind of makes a powerful point, doesn't it? I mean, if something's dead, it's not growing anymore. If something's dead, it's not going to get any bigger. There's not going to be any kind of growth that's going to come. And maybe these illustrations help to bring to our mind the reason some people don't grow spiritually. It's because they're dead. You can't grow when you're dead. And I'm not talking about physically dead here, but spiritually dead. Their senses are deadened, emotionally and mentally, spiritually. You know, the Bible speaks at times about death in a spiritual sense. Some passages that you'd be familiar with as I refer to them. We've studied in Ephesians and in chapter 2, verse 1, and you He has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You know, the apostle writing to those Christians who had made some big changes in their lives, they were dead, but now they're alive because they're no longer in their trespasses and sins. It's in Ephesians chapter 4, in beginning in verse 13, or 4, 17, chapter 4, verse 17, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to licentiousness to work uncleanness with greediness. Being past feeling. I mean, they were so far dead in their sins that it was done. They had no concept, no feeling of what life would be spiritually. We're talking. If you're dead, you're not growing. If you're dead, there's not any life. The Bible speaks as well about being dead while you're alive. How can that be? 1 Timothy chapter 6. The context of the passage is that of widows. Widows indeed, in particular. 1 Timothy in chapter 5, where there's some description given of a widow who would be considered a widow indeed. There's characteristics about her life that would stand out, that would identify her this way. And, you know, as someone who has been left alone but trusts in the Lord, verse 5, continues in supplications and prayers day and night, verse 6, but she who lives in pleasure is dead while she lives. This was the contrast being given. And it goes on from there. There's a contrast of a woman who was alive spiritually, but one who was dead spiritually. She was alive in that she lived in pleasure, but she was dead while she lived. That seems kind of an oxymoron, doesn't it? But maybe we see the point that the apostle was trying to make. When a person is dead spiritually, they cannot grow. There is the need of finding life, that which is the opposite of being dead. Sometimes people say that they will obey the gospel when they get their life right. Or maybe a fallen Christian promises that they'll return to the Lord once they make some changes. Well, if you continue to stay in sin, you're dead. You can talk about coming back to life, but you can never do that if you're still walking in the same paths, if you've made no changes. And well, in each case, changes are necessary. Whether it's one who's never obeyed the gospel who says, I'm going to make some changes and I'm going to come to the Lord, or one who has fallen from the Lord who says, I'm going to come back. In both cases, changes are necessary. But let's understand, you do not grow while you are dead. And if you continue to stay in that way of life, you continue to just be dead. Nothing has changed. One must experience renewal, regeneration, and restoration. These changes have to take place before growth can occur. And it sounds like we're talking about being brought back from the dead, and in essence, we are, spiritually so. That one must become dead to sin, but alive in Christ. It seems like in Romans chapter 6, that's very much what the apostle was talking about through much of the chapter, really. But in verse 4, he says, therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Life can come from one who is dead spiritually. That can happen for sure. Verse 8. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death that He died to sin once for all. But the life that He lives to God. Well, we can do that too. We can live for God. There is life, there is growth when we are living spiritually to God. It's only when we are no longer dead that growth can take place. When our snap peas died in the garden, there was no hope for more peas. We pulled them up. We could have left those dead bushes there all summer. You know, they wouldn't have made not one more pea. There was nothing that was going to come. And the turkey that you might have in the freezer is not going to grow any bigger. It's dead, remember? And so there's no growth that's going to happen. And if we are not growing spiritually, we are dead. It's a serious thing. It's a serious thought. To think about being alive, but in the eyes of God, being dead spiritually. It was the Apostle Peter who commanded those his epistles, that he identified as those who had escaped the corruption of the world in chapter 1 and verse 4. We get a description of who they are. These are people who are changed, who had left being dead, but he goes on to describe them as being alive in Christ. And to which he said at the close of that letter, he said to them to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. To grow. We can still grow if we are alive. If we are alive in Christ, we can grow. But that growth process can sure be hard. If we are going to grow, there are three things that we should expect in the process. Growth involves change. There will always be change around us. Some of us tend to resist change sometimes. Sometimes change is hard. We can resist it, but we cannot get away from the fact that change is inevitable around us. And since our lives are filled with change, whether we want it or not, we're better off to learn to accept change, embrace it, use change to our advantage. And we need to believe that we can change, that we can grow, and that we can be better. Change is necessary in life. To be alive, you cannot stay dead. We put this in a spiritual perspective. There's change that has to take place. For us to no longer be walking in trespasses and sins, change has to take place. And we can't resist that change. The Christian life is a life that is filled with Christ. But we have to be willing for that. We have to expect and want that change to take place. Looking at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. Here's Paul's prayer for the Christians. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Lives that have changed. Lives that are filled with Christ. Filled with Him. It's an incredible thought. Christian commitment of necessity brings about change in our lives. It's a change in relationships. It's a change in attitudes. It's a change in habits and lifestyle. It's a change of character that must take place. Sometimes you hear people say, it's just the way I am. Some characteristic about them, you have to get used to this. It's just the way I am. Well, there may be some aspects of life that that's not bad. And if it's a good characteristic, that's okay. But what if it's not? What if it's a spiritually unhealthy characteristic? Oh, that's just the way I am. You have to accept me the way I am. Really? We are so afraid of change that we're going to resist change that God would want or demand of us. If we have been groomed by the world, let's please understand that we cannot stay that way. We have to change. When the Apostle Paul was preaching in Acts 17, he said, with regard to God's will, he says, times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. 17 and verse 30. Repent is a reflection of the idea of change, turning from one way of life to something else. We cannot resist change in this regard. Paul again in Romans chapter 6, likewise you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 6 and verse 11. We're still talking about dead and alive, but now we've changed it around. Dead to the world and alive in Christ. That's change that has taken place. change that we should want and change that we should embrace. To refuse to change is to remain dead. And you will be without Christ if you're spiritually dead. And you will fail to grow. And you will fail to be with the Lord in eternity. There are some things that change is needed. And we have to embrace that. Growth involves challenges. Christians will have temptations to overcome. The devil wants us back. And the devil will do everything he can to pull us back. There are challenges to our growth as a Christian. And Satan will throw everything in our path to hinder our Christian walk. He will stop at nothing. He will do everything in his power to stop our growth and to make us dead in sin. The good news is that God is there to help. That is not the end result that God wants, and He is there to help. He is there to strengthen us. He is willing to empower us that we might overcome sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken man except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. It's interesting that Scripture does not teach us that becoming a Christian means we have no temptation. That becoming a Christian means Satan can no longer touch us. It doesn't teach us that at all. But that Satan will keep trying, but that he cannot defeat us if we are willing to grow and walk with the Lord, because the Lord will be with us. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who has called us in His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Understand that Satan will try to destroy us and bring us down, but understand just as well that when we resist him, when we remain steadfast in faith, we can overcome whatever Satan throws our way, because God is more powerful than Satan. And if we are walking with God, we can continue to grow and we can overcome whatever challenges Satan throws our way. Christians will encounter the normal problems of living life. We are not exempt from troubles and trials and worry. But God cares about our problems and He'll provide peace. He'll provide comfort and hope. Verse 7 of the same passage says, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Indeed, God does, and He will help us to grow, even when we are facing challenges of life. I mean, will we struggle at times to remain faithful? Yes. The New Testament Christians did. Why would we think we are any different than that? But we can see that those who turn to the Lord, those who remain faithful, are those who continued to grow and are those that the Lord helped. That's why so many of the New Testament letters are written for the purpose of encouraging us and edifying us, kind of spurring us on to greater faith so we can grow even when challenges abound. And then there is the fact that growth involves pain. Athletic participation involves pain. If you're going to excel, if you're going to be good at it, there is training, there's practice, there is exercise. And from what I've experienced, all of that involves pain. You know, to try to buffet the body and to make it stronger. You know, there's a lot of effort and pain that goes along with that. You know, Paul pictures the Christian life with such metaphors as a race, like running a race, and a boxing match, and a soldier in warfare. He uses these metaphors to help us understand this point. All of these invoke images of painful exercise. And in fact, the apostle very graphically described the process in those terms in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we begin reading at verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, they do not obtain a perishable crown, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. There are those who practice and work very hard and exercise to attain some kind of a crown that ultimately is perishable. It will go with the way of the world. Paul is saying that we are the ones who have to work and fight for that imperishable crown. In view of eternity is the idea. The real objective is not winning, you know, the trophy. You can take the trophy to your grave, I suppose, but it's really not going to help you in any way. It's not going to be any benefit in judgment. But that imperishable crown or trophy, that which represents that relationship with God that's eternal, it's a metaphor that helps us to get our eye on the crown of life, is the idea. Growth, you know, is that which will bring the win of that crown comes with a little pain. Discipline is needed to win the race. But we can do that. We have to be willing We have to be willing to change our life. We have to grow in spite of the challenges that Satan throws our way. We have to be willing to endure any pain that is necessary for us to grow spiritually. Because growth is what God expects of us. We cannot grow if we are dead. We have to choose life. We have to live and we have to work for life. Because then there can be growth. Again, as Peter said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's one of his final words of his second letter. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're starting a new week. A week that maybe we set some thoughts and goals in our mind of growing spiritually, being more committed to spiritual growth, and remembering this, that you can't grow if you're dead. Are you alive or are you dead spiritually? Growth only comes when we are alive, but we have to choose life. Life is found in the Lord. Death is found in the world. We can choose life. We can have life. We can accept God's grace. We can be committed to Christ. We can embrace and we can obey His gospel. We can become alive again spiritually. And if we choose to do that, only then can we begin to grow. We'll think about these things as we sing a song that's to encourage any who might need to respond. Would you come tonight as we stand and sing?